Blog Talk Radio.
Equinox, a day of balance, equal day for equal night. Our guest today, I should say right off the bat, we finally got Jack's phone number back again. Jack, welcome back.
Yeah, nice to be here, Gwen. Hello, everybody.
And
welcome
today,
back, Jack.
Yeah, hi, John. How are you?
Hi.
Today, our guests are John Eshe from Assumption Parish, Louisiana. He's going to talk with us and tell us the story of Bayou Corn and the sinkhole that has happened down there. And our other guest, who's just arrived, is an old friend, one of my favorite activists, Cherie Foytlin. Cherie, is that you?
That's me, yes, ma'am.
Hi, Cherie. Nice to hear from you again.
Hello.
Hi.
So I want to wish everybody a happy equinox. It's a nice day to balance with the Earth Mother, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to ask directly, if you would, John, just as plainly as you can tell us, just what happened? How did a great big old sinkhole get going down there in Louisiana? When did it happen? And just whatever you can tell us to let our audience know.
Yes, basically on May 30th of 2012, this year, the Assumption Parish officials received a call, you know, from a resident reporting bubbling in the bayous. It was reported as methane gas coming up. About a week, on June 8th, residents first reported feeling tremors. On about June 28th, we had a first public meeting held at a boat launch, which is near the bubbling. Office of Conservation, the director of injection and mining, Mr. Joe Ball, came. He passed off the tremors as 18-wheelers passing on the road, which everybody thought was crazy.
Really?
Good
Lord.
You know, and after you know, that meeting and the tremors really started to happen and happen often, new bubbling spots started. The seismic and the bubbling continued until August 3rd when the sinkhole happened. It was first reported to be about 200 foot by 200 foot. Later, once they did measurements, was much bigger than that. It has since grown to about 4 acres in size.
Wow.
Yes, the seismic activity has started back. The seismic activity had kind of stopped once the sinkhole happened, but over the last couple of weeks, the seismic activity has started to increase again. New bubbling spots are popping up all over. Dr. Steve Horton from University of Memphis, he's a geologist. He works with the USGS as well. He reported in an interview that it may be, to him, it seems like it may be a cycle repeating itself, meaning the new bubbling spots popping up, the increased seismic activity, and the possibility of another sinkhole happening.
Mm.
John, if I could just ask a question of you, because I'm wondering, I lived when I was young out in California and for a year, and I will never forget, when you say seismic activity, I will never forget an earthquake, experiencing an earthquake. So when you say tremors, something that moves the ground, and I am imagining like an earthquake about to happen, is that the kind of tremors that you all experienced out there?
Yeah, actually, he refers to them as small earthquakes. They register about 2.0 on the Richter scale.
It's a noticeable vibration. You can just feel it going for however many seconds or whatever.
Correct, and it has cracked, cement driveways. It's cracked sheetrock in houses.
Oh yeah.
Yes, it's pretty serious.
Yes, I would say. Air. How many dwellings have been affected by this so far, John?
There's 150 households that are in the evacuated area. The officials on August 3rd, when the sinkhole happened, later that evening, officials called for a mandatory evacuation of the area, and that included 150 households. But what's more concerning about it is only about 60 of the households have heeded the warning and actually evacuated. So there's still 90, roughly 90 households that are still in the area.
Now, what can happen if this progresses? I mean, obviously there'd be destruction of the homes involved and that sort of thing. I mean, there's loss of life that could happen. There's all kinds of things, isn't there, John?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the biggest things that everybody agrees on is that the natural gas is coming from some source, and it's into the water aquifer underneath the houses.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of gas pressure in the aquifers. All geologists that I have talked to said as long as there is the gas pressure in the aquifer that is there, another sinkhole is possible. In my opinion, it's not safe for those 90 households to still be there. As well, there's only one highway that passes through, and I don't think it's safe, for through traffic to be passing, especially busloads of kids.
Oh, yeah. Now, as the gas escapes, it creates a sinkhole. As the gas escapes into the atmosphere, the ground sinks. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it seems what happens is a gas pocket builds up in the aquifer underneath the ground until it has enough pressure. And for lack of a better word, and kind of how they have described it, it does like a burp, and it comes through the ground and causes a sinkhole.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Well, now, John, I was reading something about salt domes. Can you tell me where that comes into play here?
Okay, to explain kind of what's going on, there's a salt dome. The dimensions on it from the top are 3 mile by 1 mile. The depth, I'm not sure the depth on it. What happens is these companies, there are actually 7 companies that operate on this salt dome. They drill wells into the salt dome. They pump fresh water into these wells, saturate the salt, and they suck the salt water out It's what they refer to as brine water.
Oh.
They sell the brine water to chemical plants that use it to make other products.
Okay,
once they finish mining it for salt water, they use it as storage for hydrocarbons.
Hmm.
There are 51 caverns on this dome.
Oh,
in my opinion, in most opinions, is that the whole dome has been extremely overworked.
Huh, okay.
And the danger here, John, is what are the possibilities of happening besides just the sinkhole? I mean, are we talking about something more serious than just a few sinkholes?
You know, the sinkholes are one of the biggest fears. The other fear is there's a cavern which is about 1,500 feet from the sinkhole that has 900,000 barrels of liquid butane in it. The fear with that is explosion.
Wow.
The company that owns that cavern has started to move the butane out of the cavern and move into another cavern, which is about 900 feet away. So it would be about 2,400 feet away from the sinkhole, which in most of our opinions, they should have tried to move it out of the area completely.
Yeah, exactly.
I would think.
Yeah, and the problem with that is even, you know, although they've started to move it, it's my understanding it probably take them about 6 months to get it all out of there.
So on Friday, I remember, you know, Cherie was posting asking folks to help and call because you had called for a town meeting. And I'm wondering who showed up at your town meeting and how did it go down?
Yeah, actually, just to give you kind of why it was called, it had been 4 weeks since we had a public meeting where DNR and DEQ parish officials and state officials had held a public meeting to inform the residents, you know, of updates. So we felt it necessary to call for the citizens to call an emergency town hall meeting, which was on Thursday of last week. We formally invited all officials and agencies to attend the town hall meeting. They issued a statement refusing to attend the meeting.
Wow.
On what grounds?
They said that they wasn't notified in time. They said there wasn't enough new information. Basically, all BS.
Yeah.
Just
so they're going to wait till the thing ruptures and destroys, you know, many homes before they even bother to lift up their pens and take a look at things, huh?
Yeah, actually, what it boiled down to, in my opinion, was a power control issue. They didn't like, you know, that residents called a meeting and would be able to dictate the meeting.
Oh, isn't that pathetic? That is just pathetic.
Yes,
these people are public servants, and they're forgetting their role, aren't they?
Correct. And just to clear it up, a few did end up showing up. Our state representative. For the area showed up. The police juror for the district showed up. Congressman Jeff Landry's district director, he showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And the spokesperson for Texas Brine showed up.
Okay.
And also one employee from the Office of Emergency Preparedness for the parish showed up.
Well, you had a little limited amount of success in that regard. That's a start, at least. Was the governor notified of this meeting?
He wasn't notified. Actually, on Thursday, a news station, WAFB, from Baton Rouge, came to the meeting. I did a live interview with them at 5 o'clock, I expressed, you know, to the governor, Jindal, that I was disappointed that he hadn't taken an active role in this situation. I requested to him on TV to get involved and to come to our community and address the residents. He hasn't come to our community to address us. You know, every other situation, you know, be it Katrina or BP or the last hurricane, governor's always front and center. We have a small community, you know, and I don't know what that plays in.
I'm sure that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, we're extremely disappointed that he, you know, he hadn't shown up and addressed our residents and showed us his support. There's a lot of mistrust with Department of Natural Resources through the whole community. They basically
I remember Cherie at one point went on national TV, on CNN I think it was, pleading for the president to come down and take a look at the current situation as it was back then, and of course nothing happened. So it's not unusual for public officials to completely ignore stuff. Unless it's politically expedient for them to do so, they usually won't.
Correct.
Well, 90 homes have been asked to evacuate for safety's sake, and the governor is not addressing the community.
Wow.
No, 150 households were asked to leave. Only 60 left. But yes, the governor declared a state of an emergency and hadn't showed up.
Yeah, wow.
He declared a state of emergency and then walked away, basically, without paying. His office is not being kept informed or asking about the situation or putting any kind of oversight to it, John?
He's actually, I guess, directed, you know, GOSEP, which is the Homeland Security for the state, they're involved. But, you know, we feel that Governor Jindal should be personally involved.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't issued a statement. He hadn't held a press conference. To my knowledge, hadn't even been on a conference call with anybody. Just to give you guys, go ahead.
Well, no, please, go on. I'm sorry, John.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the main things left out as far as the sinkhole and DNR, the company Texas Brine has a cavern which is 400 feet away from where the sinkhole happened. Mm-hmm. Texas Brine, early 2011, sent a letter to the Department of or Office of Conservation. Stating that their cavern had failed a mechanical integrity test. The cavern had radioactive material stored in it. DNR gave Texas Brine the okay to plug and abandon the cavern. Okay, and once the bubbling started and DNR got involved in talking to the parish, they didn't disclose this to the parish. They kept the issue quiet.
Sure.
Even after the sinkhole developed, DNR still didn't disclose it to the parish. The August 3rd, when the sinkhole happened, was a Friday. On Wednesday morning, the article came out from a local paper about the letter, the correspondence between Texas Brine and Mr. Joe Ball, Injection and Mining Director for DNR, about the problems that were known about the cavern.
Where is Texas Brine based?
Texas Brine is, I believe, based in Texas.
I believe it's Houston.
I want to say Houston, but I'm not positive.
I understand. Okay.
Do you have a geological engineer or specialist that has volunteered for the community to come down and take a look at this situation?
Actually, I'm not sure who's all involved. Cherie may be able to answer. There are plenty of different organizations and experts that have volunteered to help us.
Jeree, do you have...
Yeah, if you've been keeping up at all with the BP disaster that is still ongoing, you know the name Dr. Wilma Subra. And she has tried on many times to get involved and has not been allowed into the scientific community there. Basically, from my understanding, Texas Brine is in charge of that scientific working group, and she hasn't been allowed in. Honestly, at this point, she's pretty much one of the main people that I trust. We do have people that are geologists that we're trying to get in contact with on behalf of the citizens, but again, it looks like to me like, for the most part, they're not allowing independent scientists to take part, which, you know, as you all know, is pretty par for the course in a disaster like this.
Mm-hmm.
So we, again, have the fox in charge of the chicken house as far as what information is being brought in and what information goes out.
Good way to put it. And I feel so bad for you folks. I mean, Christ, first you had Katrina to deal with, then you had the BP disaster, and now these sinkholes. And these things sound dangerous. They sound like they're not just going to go away tomorrow. They might even spread, and they might even involve a much wider area. And the fact that they're only 400 yards away from an already condemned site, I don't know about this, man. This is just not
actually,
a good scene.
400 feet.
400 feet? Oh, my God, that's nothing.
That's
even worse.
You know, like Dr. Super said, the one thing that we do know for sure is that the hole will not be getting smaller. And John can tell you a little bit more, but wasn't it three times this week, John, that the Earth basically lopped off
actually,
the threshold?
Actually, it was four times. Four times since either Sunday or Monday, the sinkhole has grown. Some of the measurements were 20 foot by 20 foot that fell in. One was 50 foot by 30 foot. The other one was 200 foot by, they said, a couple of feet. And then the other one, they just said 25 foot.
Well, you know,
so
400
four
feet.
Time.
400 feet, for God's sakes, that's only from home plate to center field fence in most major league
correct.
Ballparks. That's ridiculous. That's nothing. So, I mean, I don't know what Texas Brine is thinking. They're obviously not thinking.
Is there any chance, Cherie or John, is there any chance that you can put any kind of live feed, you know, one of those tube cameras up in the trees to keep a constant eye on it, or do you already have that going on?
Try to put cameras out?
Well, yes, I mean, some kind of detection or observation system. I know there's somebody, there's supposed to be, from what I was reading, those folks from the company are supposed to be out there all the time, are they?
Yes. Well, it's the way it's placed, I mean, you can't get to it. Everything's through private property. Now, the problem I have with the four different times, the sinkhole that I just mentioned that have grown, Texas Brine, the company who's under the most heat and seems like, you know, one of the likely sources, is that the ones that are actually reporting these measurements to the parish. So how can we really trust them? You know,
well,
was
you
it
can't
20 by
trust
20,
their measurements.
Or was it 50 by 50, you know?
Yeah, oh
same
my
thing,
God.
Just like in the same thing with DNR, you know, with all the mistrust and the things that have gone on with DNR, DNR is the lead investigator over this whole thing. Like Cherie had mentioned, it is the fox guarding the hen house.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Is there any way to formally, as a citizens activist community or citizens brigade, if you will, to go to the offices of the governor and demand some kind of oversight that is broken away from all of this corporate entanglement lack of what is the word? bringing it to back to the community. I mean, you had to call the town hall meeting, and then what did your representative tell you when she got there? I mean, was there any kind of any kind of parlay with her that says that she is going to put somebody out there to oversee for the community's benefit? Are the people of the parish the number one, which they are supposed to be, the number one consideration here, these homes that have been evacuated and families that are displaced now? Is there any kind of positive comeback from the government side?
Actually, one of the main things that, we requested, and we want, are weekly meetings, okay? So like I said, we had went 4 weeks without a meeting, and they were planning to wait another 2 weeks to have a meeting. So basically 6 weeks in between meetings. There's too many unknowns. There's too many things going on to not have a meeting every week. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. You have 60 households, you know, that have heated the evacuation, and they're displaced all over the place. Some don't have computers, you know, to follow, you know, some of the information that, we're able to follow. There's no reason not to have a meeting every week to update these residents on what's going on. It's
that
unacceptable.
That would be the responsible thing to do, no doubt. Cherie and John, could I ask both of you, are there specific websites that people can go to get more information on this particular problem?
Yes, absolutely. You can go to my website, which is www.lasinkhole.com.
Okay.
It has all the updated information from the parish, from the agencies, from basically everyone that's involved in the investigation.
Okay, great.
And that's www.lasinkhole.com. LASinkhole.com.
Good. And how about you, Cherie? Do you know of any, too?
Yeah, I mean, as most of you know, I blog quite regularly for Bridge the Gulf Project.
Right.
So
okay,
anyone can
go
on Bridge the Gulf Project and keep up with things. And then also, in, since I talked to you last, I actually started a multimedia project called 28 Stones. And what we do is we highlight groups here in the Gulf of Mexico. Actually, we surround issues and then highlight groups that are working on a grassroots level for or against those issues. And so the next episode of 28 Stones, which should be coming out within the next week and a half, will concentrate on Corn Bayou and Grand Bayou, which is right next door, the sinkholes, the bubbling, the tremors, and the fact that transparency is not an option for these people at this point.
Right. Now, if I understand you correctly, Cherie, this isn't just occurring only in Assumption Parish. This is happening in other areas, correct?
Well, it is in Assumption Parish. Grand Bayou, I think I'm right about that, John, is in Assumption Parish.
Okay.
Too.
Yeah.
But the problem is, when we had the meeting, there were people from, I mean, at least 6 to 10 miles out in a radius around that hole that were coming in, and they were talking about seeing the same sort of bubbling, which we know is natural gas bubbling, in those bayous in that same area. So
oh,
we're
my.
Talking about, at the very, you know, at the most, I guess, a 10-mile radius around this hole in all directions.
Yeah.
I am hearing things and reading things from some of the activists down this way that are talking about a more conspiratorial sort of scenario with the Ring of Fire platform of do you know where I'm coming from, Cherie? All of the geological cracks and fissures and things that are happening from the drilling in the Gulf to the all of the land that's been displaced from the last few storms. Is any of that playing into any of this? In other words, are these sinkholes and the domes that are used as container systems, are they unstable because there's something more going on geologically in the whole area? And that would include me, too, I mean, in the panhandle here.
Well, I mean, I'm not a scientist, and I'm definitely not a geologist either. I would be able to tell you, you know, what's causing the sinkhole. That's for the scientists to figure out all of that. I will tell you that, I mean, I don't think it's a conspiracy as much as it is just stinking ignorance and greed and just they just don't care. Like,
yeah.
I mean, to me, it's always been more about holding these people accountable for what they've done. And these industries
right.
down here have regulated themselves for so long. I mean,
mm-hmm.
50 years at the very least worth of them deciding what they're going to do and when they're going to do. Like John explained about the DNR. The DNR, I mean, we were at that meeting and the state rep that came in, I was just biting my tongue because she got up in front of everyone and she said, well, the DNR's on it and how responsible and respectable they were and how they were handling everything. And, I mean, when Hurricane happened here, Hurricane Isaac, I was down there, and it just so happened that Brentwaite was really flooded, and a chemical plant was flooded. This is a chemical, I mean, a refinery was flooded really bad there. And then DNR came in, and they said, oh, you know, it's all fine. The water's orange, but it's no big deal. Well, come to find out a good 2 weeks later that those people shouldn't have been in that water, that the water was bad, that the people that were in that area should have had respirators, and the DNR knew that.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It's ignorance on the level that even our top leaders believe these people and do not understand the extent to which they have been bought out.
Yeah, oh, my
so,
God, yeah.
So I
well,
I
you know,
say, I mean,
that kind of regulation.
I wouldn't put anything past anything.
Yeah, that kind of regulation, unfortunately, is only determined by profitability questions, not by public need and public danger. It's just pathetic the way these self-regulators are. They just don't do the job. Let's face it, and they buy out other people that may be a threat to them. You know, it keeps the public ignorant, it keeps people in danger, and it's just not a good situation at all.
I do have to take a minute here, though, and explain something. John, that's on this line here, he is doing the best that he can for his community. I can see
yeah.
it. And I talk to him almost every day since we start talking. And there has been good things that came from that meeting.
Good.
And it wasn't, there weren't that many, there was a lot of people that showed up. There wasn't that many officials that showed up, but he did get the officials that did show up to talk, even though they said they weren't going to. And the information, and John can correct me if I'm wrong, has been free, kind of much more freely rolling out since that time, which
Good.
Leads me to the real point, which is when communities organize themselves and stand up truth to power, changes can come. It's
yeah.
not always a negative, you know, what are we going to do kind of a thing. And in this case, I think John is one of those people that's proving that when you actually do the right thing and speak up and be strong in a community, even though you know you're going to get ridiculed, you know you're going to get called out, and I know John can tell you he has, and so have I, but change can come. Good things can come. And unfortunately for that community, this is only the beginning of that.
Right. Well, hats off to both of you for that effort. And, you know, I've had the greatest amount of admiration for your efforts, Cherie, and I've told you that many months ago, and I wish you the very best on your constant, ongoing efforts to right the situation down there. And it's an unthankfully, it's a very terrible job to have to do, but God bless you, you're still doing it, and good for you.
Cherie, John,
yeah.
what can the listeners do to help this situation? How can
yes.
we as axillaries contribute to your community's safety? What can we do? What can the people listening do other than get the information out there and talk about it? What can be done?
Sheesh, all of activism in this day and age, excuse me, John, is about PR. I mean, when it really comes down to it, there's three ways to affect change in this minute. So there's lobbying, which we don't really have in this case. We don't have any legislation to lobby for or against. There's PR, which is, to me, the most important thing at this time. We have to get word out there for these people that this is happening, that these people
yeah.
are not that they're not being transparent with these people, and that their health and safety, because they're exhibiting some of the same symptoms that our people have and still do because of the BP oil spill, as far as, like, you need to drive through that town, sometimes you get this whiff of diesel that's like a cloud. It's like, you know, you drive through it, you get to the other side of it. But these people are saying they're having headaches, they're having nausea, and
similar situations,
which really, you know, really brought my attention to this concern because, again, these chemicals don't, even though, you know, the Department of Health and Hospitals was consistently saying that this is not bad enough that it's going to cause people to be sick, but they do not look at the accumulative effects of this and how many of these people and these children, by the way, that they've evacuated this area, but there's children on buses, on school buses, going straight through. This is the area that's evacuated every single day, 2 to 4 times a day.
Yeah. Texas Brian should be made aware that people are now aware of what's going on down there, and they should be called on the carpet for their hand in it, and every little bit of action in that regard, too, would be helpful, I'm sure, don't you think?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, John.
Well, I just wanted to add to that with Texas Brian, you know, excuse me, since the Senko happened, basically we've been fighting with DNR and Texas Brine. DNR ordered Texas Brine to drill an observation well on side of the cavern to go in it and to test it. Recently here, over the last couple of weeks, DNR drilled a well, drilled test wells into the water aquifer to test how much gas was in the aquifer. Here goes DNR with that. They knew they were going to hit gas pressure, and they used a rig that was incapable of handling the gas pressure it hit. So they had to halt that operation and trying to call in a rig that can handle it. And then subsequently with that, DNR ordered all 7 companies on the dome to investigate the aquifer, either capture the gas or vent it or flare it out. All right, now we're up against 7 companies: Dow Chemical, Occidental, Chevron,
Crosstech,
KDS Promex, Texas Brine, of course, and Pontchartrain. So we're up against DNR, BQ, and 7 companies now.
Well, thanks for listing those companies. That's very important. And I am not surprised that Occidental and Dow Chemical are remotely involved or even actively involved. You know, that explains a lot right there. And, you know, if they're involved in any degree, they're going to pour money into PR against any effort to shut down the operation or do anything like that. So, yeah, it's very important for that information to come out. And the public needs to be aware of what's happening and how you people are being victimized by these greedy companies.
Correct. We've made the request to the governor, you know, through the TV, and if the governor doesn't step in and do anything very soon, we absolutely all want to push for the federal government to get involved and take over the situation. I don't see anything changing unless the EPA federal government does get involved, because you have the industry and DNR and who's in bed with who, we don't know. But
exactly.
I don't think that the state can be trusted, you know, to handle this. I think the federal government needs to take over.
You can never trust an energy supplier to be self-regulator. They just don't do the job, or they do it so poorly that you might as well have not even had made an effort in the first place. So, yeah, I applaud your efforts to involve whoever you need to get involved to get this situation remedied.
John, can I ask you, what are some of the possible scenarios on the as this sinkhole grows? What can happen? I know you told us about the butane being close, but what are the scenarios here? Can you speak to that, you or Cherie?
Cherie, maybe can go a little bit further, but I mean, the only thing that not to say the only thing, but one of the things I'm worried about is just how big can the sinkhole get? The geologists have told us, you know, the diameter wouldn't get any bigger than 1,400 feet. I don't necessarily believe that.
And where were the geologists from? Where were they from?
That was the geologist from DNR is the one who told us, you know, 1,400 feet. I don't trust anything anybody from DNR says, so who knows with that. Yeah, and just by coincidence, and I say coincidence, but I don't believe it is, the day before the article came out about DNR and Texas Brine and the correspondence about the failed cavern, the former secretary of DNR, Scott Ongel, resigned the day before this hit the paper. Now he's running for a public service commission.
What about an independent geologist source, like from a university or something, that an accredited university that could send a team down there?
Well, I think that absolutely needs to happen. You know, like I said, at this point, I don't trust anybody that's involved in the whole investigation. We have been pushing for independent people to be involved.
Yes,
and as Sharif mentioned, you know, like Dr. Subra, you know, they pushed back against her. I don't know what the reason is. I mean, I can speculate that they just want to keep it all in-house.
You know? In their minds, she's the enemy. That's why.
How was she reason involved at some point? Isn't that right, John?
What's that?
Yeah, there are some scientists and geologists from LSU that are part of the team. The problem is this team advises DNR, and then DNR basically decides to do what they want to do. We're not aware of what the science team is actually telling DNR, so we don't know if DNR is following
DNR,
exactly
that's a state agency.
Louisiana Department of Natural Resources.
Resources. Okay, that makes more sense. Yeah, okay, I understand. Well, there's collusion, and there's buddy-buddy, and there's all that crap you have to deal with, unfortunately.
And the biggest thing, another thing just from the people side, you know, we're going on almost 4 months here, you know, since people have been going through this. They've been evacuated, you know, or the sinkhole, you know, since August 3rd. I mean, people are just so fed up and so frustrated and so depressed. It's just hard for them to go through. You know, you hear stories about, you know, the children, you know, crying and wanting to go back home to their houses.
What is the media doing? How is the media treating this story? Are any of them taking any active interest? Any magazines, any newspapers, any TV stations or anything like that? That are regularly featuring some information on the subject.
To be honest, the biggest source is the reporter from the Advocate newspaper in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
He's the one that found the information about the correspondence between, you know, conservation and Texas Brine on the cavern. He does a story just about every day.
Great.
You know, the local news in the beginning, they were involved and they were there very often. Recently, they had kind of slacked off some. We garnered a lot of media attention last week calling the meeting and officials refusing to attend.
Sheree, are you still posting on Huffington Post?
I do on occasion, yes. I think I did. I can't remember if I actually put one up there about Corn Bayou or not. But I did have one that I put in Bridge the Gulf that was the ABCs. But, I mean, that's been a little while back ago. See, my problem is I run into is I guess so. This is not the only disaster, unfortunately. And people really have a hard time seeing when you're in the midst, like John is a community organizer, right? And people have a hard time, not John, but, I mean, people – by and large, have a hard time seeing these connections between these disasters. And so a lot of my personal mission is to show these connections. Take, for instance, this case with Bayou Corn.
Good.
I mean, first of all, you have to know the history. You have to know that some of these people that have been kicked out of Bayou Corn because of this were kicked out years ago of Grand Bayou when Dow Chemical had an issue where one of their caverns was compromised and their houses were filled with methane gas, so much so that if they lit a lighter, their houses could have blown up. So what they did is they bought their property. And a lot of these people moved to Bayou Corn, and some of them are relocating again or are out of their houses again. So you have that particular connection. But also you have to think this brine that Texas Brine pulls out, first of all, they store radioactive materials and other sort of refuse from the oil industry into these caverns. A lot of the, not these particular ones, but a lot of the national gas surplus is in some, not these particular caverns, but is in caverns here in the Gulf of Mexico. That's another whole issue. A lot of the brine that they pull out, they use for fracking all over the United States. So this ties in with fracking as well. It ties into national security. It ties into, environmental justice issues. And the problem is, a lot of times when you're in the midst of battle with your own, basically neighbors, with your own the parish officials, it's hard to for people outside to understand and see that this relates to them. Because if you, like I said before, if you are being, if these people can be ignored by their local parish officials in a representative government, that means you can be ignored in your government where you are when you have a similar or some kind of issue there. So really it comes down to taking care of each other so we can take care of ourselves.
And with a little Dow Chemical money to further quelch, squash the investigatory efforts, that's all the more reason that the news doesn't get out. So it's a daunting task. There's no doubt about it.
Well, and you just very eloquently tagged several different issues together within the Gulf, and gave us a good vision of how many issues there are in just that area, and all of them tied together. It would seem to me that a producer for, like, even Real Time or RT or Maddow would be interested in hearing or seeing that kind of information.
Yeah.
I suppose it depends on paying the check or the
Maybe even Robert Greenwald with Brave New Films.
Yeah, it definitely needs some attention. Like, I mean, that's the number one thing. And John's spot on when he talks about making this a federal disaster. At this point, that is the number one thing that needs to happen. Because if that did happen, then the federal EPA could come in and do monitoring, as well as then you're bringing up the Clean Water Act and OPA 90. And we definitely can prove that some of this stuff is in navigable waters. There's no reason, according to my sources, that it shouldn't fall under a federal emergency at this point.
Yeah, I would agree. And, it's important to do this prior to any life being lost or any hazardous ill effects being suffered by the local population. Not wait till something happens before they react. They need to do it preventatively.
Yeah,
I think it was maybe about 2 months ago. When, John, wasn't it, when two people very nearly lost their life by being sucked into the hole and had to be rescued by airboat as they were skimming the diesel fuel off the top of the hole?
That was about a month ago, but, yes, that's what happened.
Wow.
Has there been any kind of chronicling this with video or, any kind of chronicle like that? The camera it speaks so loudly, Cherie?
Yeah, absolutely. We've done flyovers thanks to On Wings of Care, who helped to donate most of a flyover for us so that we could, me and myself and Drew Landry, we went over and we took video. I know that other organizations have gone over and taken video. Louisiana Bucket Brigade has been working on this issue and trying to help people to be able to test their own air. Louisiana Environmental Action Network, that's Dr. Wilma Subra and Mary Lee Orr and her boys, have been really on top of taking water samples and putting that out to the public so that everyone knows. And I forgot to mention them. If you want to go to a website that has a lot of information on it about the hole itself, Louisiana Environmental Action Network. And then Bucket Brigade 2, of course, has their eyewitness pollution map that people can upload information to and pictures as well. And then I know in John's group, a lot of times there will be video that people have taken of, you know, tremors and bubbling and even the hole itself that he puts up. And then a lot of times, you know, thankfully to him, he'll share those with Bridge the Gulf Project as well.
I did not realize that you got tremors like that in Louisiana. On this coastline, I've never felt it. I'm aware there was an earthquake in New York not too long ago in the state. But I was unaware that we were getting these kinds of shifts.
Well, I think it's specifically around this particular incident.
Yes, there's actually a fault line that runs along the Salt Dome, but this is totally new to us in Louisiana. We don't have tremors and earthquakes.
Right. Oh.
Well, I can't imagine how frightening that would be.
They've been studying with seismic monitors for almost 3 months now, and they have still yet to give us a definitive answer on exactly what's going on.
They'd rather blame 18-wheelers for it. How pathetic.
The geologists basically say that the readings are unusual.
That's very academic.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, I could have told them that before they set up the monitor.
Oh, how ridiculous.
And that's part of the problem, isn't it? I mean, if they just really don't know. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to correctly handle this. And they'll come out and tell you in their own little political speech that they really don't know. And I think part of the reason they didn't want to meet with John and the citizens was they don't want to have to face questions that they don't have an answer to. And they don't. And unfortunately, nobody else does either.
Yeah.
So, that's where we're at.
Did anybody address the representative when she was telling people that, you know, things were one way when the experience is directly the opposite? Was anybody correcting her or asking her, bringing it up?
I don't remember exactly then, but, everyone, since the stuff came out, about DNR, and Texas Brine and the correspondence, no one has trusted DNR, and everyone, expresses to all officials that we don't trust DNR.
Mm-hmm.
This is a shame. So, as you say, one of the primary things that folks that aren't down there in Louisiana can do for this is to be a part of the axillary community and bring the awareness up. In other words, we need to post it in our social networks and talk about it and have the topic get known.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Amplify those voices. And as well as, I would say at this point, to call the White House and call the White House Center for Environmental Quality and go ahead and call the EPA, the federal EPA, which who I know for a fact is watching this but really can't get involved until it's declared a federal disaster, and go ahead and try to push them to make this a federal disaster. I think that's really, really important, that, and like I said, amplifying those voices and getting that information
out
there.
And then you'll see the reporters swarm all over the area and really try to expose what's going on. Until then, it's an uphill battle, but it's not a hopeless battle, and people need to be encouraged to not think it's hopeless.
Another thing that I've seen can actually work, if people will email their favorite news programs like Maddow or Young Turks or somebody like that and say, hey, look, what about this situation down here with all the disasters in the Gulf, and now we got a sinkhole down there with tremors. Is anybody going to talk about that? It doesn't hurt to email the producers of shows or the people, whatever their tags are. It brings up an awareness in that regard, too. And, Sheree, I agree 100%. Call the White House. Call them every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you guys know this better than me. You know, the more it's out in the media, especially national media, it puts pressure on everybody.
Right, exactly.
You know, and that's what's needed. I mean, we need the pressure to be put on these agencies and officials.
That's exactly right. Yeah, because they're out there to do the public good, and when they're only doing the private industry good, they're not doing their job.
Well, as I recall, and Sheree, I'm not sure if you know, but as the BP spill was going on when it first began, Rachel Maddow brought her crew down and was with several of the environmental specialists down in Louisiana going through the wetlands. She did a wonderful job in having them expose what possibly could happen to the estuaries and everything. She devoted a great deal of time to it. She did a really good job, and it seems to me that the bad end of it is really starting to come up, and she's the one who did a lot of the only coverage on that at the time, and that's the reason I bring her up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Amy Goodman.
She did do a great job.
Amy Goodman's
awesome.
Another good person.
I've met with her. She's really, really good. The thing is, even with, and the BP disaster was such a big, like we're talking about four to five states basically being impacted one way or another. And the BP disaster was so huge, and so there was a lot of press down here from the beginning, you know, about, up until August when the president and everyone came out and said the oil was magically gone. There was a lot of, you know, Anderson Cooper, everybody was down here, right?
Sure.
But still, here we are, almost 2.5 years later, and finally the DOJ is picking up, the Department of Justice is picking up on this, and making this an issue. And it helped, of course, that about the exact same time Hurricane Isaac belched the Gulf, the oil that was still in the Gulf, all over pretty much every Gulf state that was impacted. So they couldn't deny it anymore. And there was so many scientists involved at this point that they have fingerprinted that directly back to the Deepwater Horizon with no ifs, ands, or buts. But my question has always been, why is it so quick for a disaster to happen and so slow for a recovery or justice?
Oh, I know. Reaction time is so slow.
Money.
It is.
Right.
You're right.
Yep.
Profit.
I would agree.
Yep, very true.
We are in search of our humanity again. That's the real issue these days.
Yeah.
Hats
off to both of you for the great job you're doing in illuminating this for all of us who aren't aware of it so much. And now we know that what we should be looking for and, where
we
can have, look for information.
We only have a few minutes left. And so, Sheree and John, please, primary, please give people once more where they can go to find out more information, and when they do, please spread it around your social networks, people. John, will you give your information out?
Yes, absolutely. The website that we have created is www.lasinkhole.com. That's www.lasinkhole.com.
And Sheree, please give your information out, Bridge of the Gulf, and what you need out there.
Yeah, you can just keep checking with Bridge of the Gulf Project. Donate if you can, because it's citizen-based journalism. It's the truth that you won't see on national TV, and from the ground up, from grassroots up, and really important to the country to keep really involved with what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico. As well as check out Louisiana Environmental Action Network. That's leanweb.org and Louisiana Bucket Brigade. I don't have the website for that, but if you Google it, you can find it. All those groups are working real hard to just get the information out, do the testing that's required, and to do so in an honest and transparent way.
Well, thank you very much, and together we will prevail. I guarantee you. We've got to keep at it, though.
Absolutely.
John, I hope you'll come back and let us know how things are going, as well as you, Sheree. Thank you so much for being with us today. and letting the audience, the listeners know what's going on out there. And we'll get it out on our networks as much as we can. And I would like to tell the audience one more time, please, call the president. Let him know. The folks there at the White House will take the information, and his office does hear from you. So it's important to do.
And thank you for the opportunity, too.
And yes, thanks for having us, and anytime.
You're very welcome, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again. So keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Okay, and tonight's guests were John Ashe from Assumption Parish and Cherie Foytlin from Rain, Louisiana. It's Rain, isn't it?
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. And Jack Jodell from Minnesota.
Yep, nice to talk with all of you again. And we'll keep up the battle. It's a never-ending battle.
Thank you all for being here this evening. Cherie, John, take care. Keep strong, everybody. Thank you for listening. This has been Here Be Monsters, the Sunday show with Jack Jodell and Gwendolyn Berry. We'll see you next week at 6 p.m. on Sunday. Thank you for listening.
See you then, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.